No. She said, just bring your precious self, Miss Vicky. No food.
Well, then maybe you can do for the whole thing, but you'll have to see too. Because we ain't bringing nothing. We're just coming. We're coming for one another. Amen. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. An hour here. I didn't plan to get in on that. Well, you guys know how that works by now.
Yeah.
That whole thing. That wasn't like on our plan. But there's a place we've been before I went out of town. I don't know where Pastor had you all week. I didn't even get to talk to Pastor yet. And that doesn't really matter in that sense. But not that it wasn't important. It just doesn't have to do with today. But we were on a track, if you remember, really talking about healing, God's will to heal, faith, continuing faith. Faith isn't a hit, miss, win, or lose. It's not a plug we pull in and pull out. Faith is the position of your heart to receive what He accomplished. Faith is something you live, to just live by faith. They don't try faith. You follow me? A lot of misconceptions about that stuff with faith. Faith, I've actually believed, Holy Spirit taught me years ago that a lot of times faith is located when everything's going contrary and you've already prayed and it gets worse and you continue to not budge. Faith is found in that place. Because anybody can pray when they have need. Anybody can read their Bible, see what it says, and then try to act on it. When you lose heart, especially quickly, that reveals that you're just trying the Bible. You're trying it out. You've reduced faith to a method of prayer to get help. You follow what I'm saying? Faith doesn't do that. Faith doesn't change its mind. Yeah. So, if you and I, what we were purposing to do there back in school there before I left for the week, is to establish the will of God in our heart towards people. Remember? And that we looked at the life of Jesus. He's the will of God revealed. Just summarizing a little so I can teach something here, because I want to talk about just loving people as you go. And we've been wanting to talk about this. It's not the goal of our school. It's actually probably sitting in this time frame. Everything I shared before the break leads you to what I'm about to talk about. Because it builds love in you. Builds identity in you, security. All of a sudden, what people say and think and project and don't understand has nothing to do with... You can't even be rejected because you're not doing anything for you for identity to be established. You already are. So even when people are rough with you, your heart just hurts for them because they don't understand your intention. If I walk up to somebody in public and mean well, and they totally misunderstand and blow me off and talk rude to me, I've lost nothing. Because I approach them for them. You follow what I'm saying? If you feel rejected, if you feel slighted, if you say, boy, that didn't fly real well, I made me feel foolish, I'm not going to do this again, then you're stepping out for all kinds of wrong reasons. You're just trying to do the Christian thing, or you're saying, man, I probably should do this. They teach on it. If I'm a Christian, I probably should do this. You see what I'm saying? But there's a place to be moved by love that when you approach people, and purpose to encourage people, and purpose to love people, that even if they don't receive it, it doesn't change love. You'll find that if they don't receive it, it'll actually increase the love that you feel in your heart for them. You follow me? You'll find yourself walking and praying and interceding, and you might be amazed how that little encounter with somebody that didn't understand or blew you off or was rough with me. See, because here's the deal. All those things you talked about earlier, there's a lot of things that are determining people. It's not even the real them. It's what life fashioned. So when you approach somebody and they treat you that way, we tend to read a book by its cover and say, boy, they're this and they're that. You might be amazed who they are through Christ. The only reason they're that way is because of all these things that have fashioned them. Get what I'm saying? So you have to be careful that when you look at people, you see them through that truth and you're not moved by any of that, because we have our whole life lived by first impressions. True. And we read books by their cover. Right? I want you to see this in 2 Corinthians. I used it in my analogies when I got goofy with the gas pump, but I'm not going to get goofy. I feel real serious right now. This is serious stuff. See, we have to be careful in the way that we're seeing people. And the way we're seeing people is going to determine how we live our life towards them and stuff, and how we handle some things, right? So we've been covering this the whole school. The more identity we receive this way, the more healthy we see ourselves, the more we're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. You have to understand that God didn't come and love you because you were doing everything right. God loves you because He knows who He created you to be. You follow me? He's pursuing the fulfillment of who He created you to be. And He loves who He made Patty to be. He loves that. Right? He loves who He made Rachel to be. He loves that. You get it? And He paid a price to redeem that truth. Once we fully receive that truth, then what? Then we can begin to see others through that very truth. Amen? I want you to see in 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 14. Now you guys have seen this before. We've probably quoted this and talked about this. But we've been talking about healing. We've been talking about believing for healing in people. That God didn't just tell us to teach men to pray a prayer to go to heaven. He wants us to minister to their life. Encouraging people out in public. I'll give you an example. I was in a restaurant with a lady waiting on us this week. I never experienced a waitress like that ever in my life. Broke my heart. She's waitressing. You'd think she would smile a little, even if she's struggling, just because she's a waitress and she wants tipped and she's her livelihood. So you've seen people smile when they didn't want to, because it's their job. She didn't never even come close. Didn't even come close to smiling. And it just broke my heart. Now, if you're not careful, you think, boy, what a waitress. She's in the wrong profession. Yeah, you wouldn't think a restaurant would want her working here. You could do all that. And all of us have the potential to do that. Think, man, she got out of the wrong side of bed. What kind of... Right? And you don't understand. I'm looking at her and my heart's breaking because I'm understanding she's a waitress and she can't even come close to smiling. So you know something's not good. And she comes over, she's taking orders. She is as pressed down as you can't even imagine. It was that intense for her. I mean, I'm talking, didn't even come close. I'm trying to exaggerate my language so you can even imagine what it was like, because I can't even explain it. She was so forlorn. I didn't know how to access her. I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel comfortable at our table to just affront her, even in love, in front of everybody. So I felt to get her alone. And there was a pastor there at the table. And when you're traveling and you're a guest, everybody always wants to bless you. And I said, listen, man, don't you fight me on this. Give me that bill. I need to do something. Give me the bill. He says, okay. So I said, thank you. So he gives me the bill. And I said, I'm just going to get our lunch. I want to put it on my card for a reason. Well, I looked at our lunch. And I'm not telling you it's for any wrong reason. I'm explaining a principle. I wanted to make a statement to her and encourage her. I have no need to buy her. I don't have to pay her to let me pray for her, because everything's for her. So I don't have such a need to pray for her that I got to buy her. So don't get weird in your thinking when I tell this story. That would be weird. I want her blessed and encouraged. So, you know, the meals, a couple of us, $40 and some change. So in the tip, I just wrote $50, right? So that's a statement. And I went up and there's nobody there. She came over to take it and pay. And I said, hey, thanks for serving us today. I said, man, it's really hard to do what you're doing. It's almost to the point where you can't do what you're doing. She went like that. She said, the pain in your legs really bad and in your feet. It's really in your feet. And I was kind of telling her, just believing I was right, just to help get her attention a little bit. And she said, oh, yeah, I've done this for 17 years. Plus, I just found out I have liver disease. And I said, I usually don't highlight this stuff because it's not let your left hand know what your right hand. And I usually do this kind of stuff and just sneak out. But do you see that tip? And she went. And I said, yeah, I want you to be encouraged. Jesus really loves you. And this tip is just a sign and a statement. Be encouraged. And I've been noticing, and I just was hoping we could pray. I believe that pain could leave, et cetera, et cetera. She said, you think it can? Really? I said, oh, it can. I said, I'd love to pray for you. She said, well, I'm really busy. I said, I understand. It was the closest I've seen her come into smiling when I started to do all this. And I said, honey, I want you to look at that tip again. That came on my heart in the Lord. I'm out of town. I may never see you again. I don't have to buy you to pray for you. That's a sign of encouragement. Jesus cheering you on. Begin to believe on Him. Call on Him. Ask Him for help. Ask Him for grace every day. I said, you are so precious to Him. That's why Jesus died on the cross, honey. Because God loves us all. And I'm just sharing my heart with her. And she's like, okay. And she went and I went back to my table and she said, well, look, I got to get this. She'd come out with, we were going to leave. And I thought, man. So I walked over to her and I asked her if I could just pray for her. She said, you know, I don't think it's going to work. She said, I just got too much to do. And I looked around and I thought, she's pretty caught up. And she had a tray with a bunch of cups and salads and drinks. I said, do this, honey, please. We're back here in a corner. You're coming back through to the kitchen anyway. 15 seconds, please. Let's just pray and see. I believe that pain can come out of your legs. Jesus loves you. I said, still, you be encouraged. The statement still it is, but I really want to pray. Okay. She went and she put the stuff down, came back, and she looked at me and she made sure that I knew she appreciated what I was doing. She looked at me and said, I want you to know that what you're doing is beautiful. She said, I wish there was a lot more people like this. And I said, honey, we could all wish that, but greater than that, we can all become this way. I said, it's just a good thing. I said, we've been all waiting for love, and we're all created to be it. See what I mean? So I didn't want to hold her up long. I took her hand, prayed for her. It was just beautiful. She checked her feet. She didn't know what to do. She's like, what? And because it's always there. It's really bad. And I said, listen, honey. I talked to her a little bit and I gave her a big hug. And she looked at me again and said, thank you for what you did. That was so beautiful. A lady is watching the prayer. She comes over and she says, I heard what you're saying. I see you want to pray. And she just started bawling. Can you please pray for me? I'm so afraid. I said, why are you afraid? They just told me I had cancer. I said, oh my goodness, honey, come here. And I just held her like she was mom. Right in the middle of the restroom. So she's bawling. And I got some people around. We just stood right in the center of the restaurant and prayed for her. Just on a certain level, people need hope. Don't they? If she'd have never let me pray for her, just that $50 tip had a voice. Because here's the deal. When you turn and walk away, there's no string to that $50. A week goes by and she realizes you're not back and you must have been a traveler. And you didn't have any other intention. It might speak louder than yet. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not just healing, it's loving. We talk about healing a lot because Jesus did, but it's loving people. Let me tell you how Jesus is. I put a lot of things on my Neck Ministries debit card when I travel. I try to buy everybody the lunch that I'm with because I like turning the tables. So people feel the need to serve you. It's not always love. It's reciprocation. They host you so they feel like they got to take care of you. When you ask to buy the lunch for everybody, it really turns the tables on some folks. No, but we're supposed to get you lunch. Where's that written? For it is written. If you bring in a speaker, you must accommodate and make sure you get him lunch every time. Wait on him hand and foot. Make sure his bed is wider than the bed he sleeps in at home. It's weird stuff out there. We call it honor. Sometimes it turns into, I'm supposed to do this. Not always. I'm not putting it down. But Tom Rotola gives me spending money for power and love. I always tell him not to bother. He says, well, you can either take it or I'll blend it into your honorarium. I said, oh, you're a bad, bad man. He said, it's up to you. He said, just take it or I'll blend it into your honorarium. I said, sure. Because I'm trying to tell him those kind of expenses isn't what we need. And those kind of funds. We don't have to create those expenses for a speaker. I'm telling him I don't need that. I'm so willing to come here and just do what I do, the little bit I do. And so most of you know that they're tending to Sharon back here. They're going to take her and make sure she's okay. I want to just stop as they're taking her as a class and just believe God for her, okay? Let's just pray. Grab somebody's hand. Believe for Sharon right now. That her heart's well. That her body's well. Just begin to pray out of your heart for her right now. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you for these men that are helping and blessing her. But we ask for your great power and your great presence to come. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. Thank you that healing and wholeness would come upon her. Father, your grace and your spirit upon her. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Bless her. That every sickness would flee, come out of her in Jesus' name. That her body would be well and strong in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yeah, that's good, guys. That's good. You just be in faith. You just be in a position of your heart and faith for her right now. I just didn't want people even distracted. I felt like we need to just corporately just pray and be in a position for her. Thank you, God. I want you to catch this principle of giving and stuff. Tom gives me this money. I really don't want the money, honestly. It's not that I can't receive it. I just have that kind of giving heart. Sometimes I think the weakest area in my entire life is receiving finances. Because I'm not thinking finances. I'm not looking for them. I'm not asking for them. And people purpose to bless me because they want to, and I can never stop that or deny that. It wouldn't be right. But at the same time, it's probably the weakest area of my life. Jesus is helping me with that. And Todd's the same way. And thank you, Jesus. Bless her, God. And we were back praying for Sharon for a while. She was doing well, and then it seemed like she wasn't. And I just made a comment to Susan to make sure that she doesn't just need looked at and checked at. And I'm the one that initiated that. So I always told you I'm not against all that stuff. We're not going to sit here and pray. And it's okay. You just never let go of faith. You don't do one or the other. You live by faith. We've gotten this weird idea that we do one or the other. So I actually encouraged all that. I said, listen, I think I'm feeling in my heart. It's been bothering me the whole time I'm teaching that we need to at least address some things. And just out of care for her, just look at some things. Now, though as passionate as I preach and the way I preach, and even John Gillet, who I respect highly, would call that total deception. That it's one or the other, die if you have to. I just don't have that conviction. I believe everything you do by faith, and we're growing along the way. That's what I believe. I don't believe everybody has to die in the process. Because I've learned that when the people die, we just make up more theology rather than continue the process of growing. So why not just be in faith in all things? Amen? So that's not to me a slam or a slight or a... So Tom gives me this money for the week, for lunches, for travel expenses. I drive. He wants to pay for my gas. And I understand it's reimbursement stuff. I tell him, Tom, it's not necessary. Just put it into Power and Love account. He says, no way. I'm going to blend it into your honorarium. I say, oh. And we laugh over it because we've wrestled over those things. Tom's an amazing man. The first bunch of Power and Loves we did, I found out he was using his personal finances to pull them off. Like $12,000 or $15,000 of them. Because he was so convicted it was the will of God. And the conferences weren't that well attended in the beginning because people didn't want to go out in the streets. It's the truth. So he thought if he'd get big name speakers, he could draw interest and they still wouldn't sign up in the beginning. He had Jason Westerfield and Gary Oates, and then he had me, like, who's Dan Moeller in there, which was funny. But it was like, man, he had Gary and Jason, so somebody ought to come. 30 people sign up. And it was to be a Christ community. You would think the place would have been packed. Now, if it was a healing conference, it would have been. If it was a ministry impartation conference, it would have been a sellout. Because it's what we want to receive from men and women, people. And there's a receive mentality, what I get from God. And Power and Love is giving Him to the world. So it's going out in the streets 8 times in 4 days. And it freaks most Christians out. And they won't sign up. So Tom covered the cost. I found it out. You don't need to know this, but there's just some ways that we're not. The gospel is not how we make a living. We minister the kingdom. Amen. We're not going to a place for an honorarium. I tell people, if you're going for an honorarium, don't go. And I didn't take an honorarium for the first couple of Power and Loves because I told Tom there is no way you're paying your personal finances than me receiving an honorarium so that you can give us an honorarium out of your bank account. I hope he's not mad I'm sharing all this, but it shows the integrity of people. What a Christian. So he's just doing right. It's not that way now. They're bigger attended. We get 100 some folks. He has to pay people to fly in. He pays for airlines. He pays for hotels. He's good. He's a good steward of finances. He's a good administrator. He's amazing. He's gifted. I just tell him, don't lay hands on me. I just want to stay ignorant and preach Jesus. Don't you touch me. I so appreciate him. I am so not in that. I don't have any of that. And it's not that it wouldn't be good. I probably would be good if he would lay hands on me. Because I am not good in that. But he gives me this money, and me and Todd both do the same thing. We laugh and say, that's fine, Tom. We'll take it. We'll just give it away. And we're just like, we're like little kids, like getting back, like kicking at each other. And it's all in fun. It's nothing unholy about it. And he says, fine, do what you want with it. You know, Jesus' blessings on this. So Tom forgot to give me the money this time. And I thought, he finally understands. Well, no, he just forgot. So watch how weird this was. Saturday night, the thing's over. I'm up there sitting, ready to go preach for the last night. And he comes over with his little money slip to sign it. And he has He has $160 there. He says, look, I want to cover. You had to drive to meet Jeremiah. You did this. And he has it always. He always, you know, and I'm like, stop. I said, Tom, it's Saturday. It's already over. Yeah, but how much did you put on your card since you've been here? And I said, Tom, doesn't matter. Because it was way more than that. He said, just take it. I said, Tom, I'm not. It's the last night. I'm not. That's fine. You know what I'll do? I'll just blend in. I said, Tom. And I went, and I was just play acting, you know, and I grabbed the thing and I went, and signed my name like chicken scratch, like, and just giving back. And he's laughing, and I put it in my pocket. And I thought I couldn't really say to him, well, I'll just give it away because it's not the beginning of the week. And so I preached and everything. It was the last night. Love you, all the stuff, people, all the. It's just fun. So I go to my hotel room. We're sleeping there. And I get up in the morning. I'm laying on my bed. And the Lord said, Todd was sowing into the cleaning ladies all week, loving on them, praying for them, blessing them all week. There's three of them. The Lord said, Dan, I want you to split that between them. They work so hard and people don't understand. And I want you to tell them thank you for just being who they are and working and bless them and encourage them without a string. And I went, you are so cool. I was like, thank you, Tom, for that $160. So it had nothing to do with healing. Had nothing to do. It just had to do with love and seeing people for value. So I went out in the one, she's just a little thing. Hey, girl, how are you today? And I went down the treadmill because it was raining and I ran a couple miles on the treadmill, which I do not like. Yeah, amen is right. But I just thank you, Jesus, and did it. And thank God that I had a treadmill. But it was a challenge. Yeah, I like to be outside. So I came out and I got dressed, cleaned up, and I went and started loading the car with our stuff, and Todd was going somewhere else to a church, and we were going different directions, and he was going later, and he was over. He wasn't even at the room, and I was ready to leave, and I took this money, and I split it up, and I went to the little girl. I said, hey, girl, man, I know you guys know we're Christians. I know my buddy's been loving on you all week. Oh, yeah. I said, well, you know, it was amazing. I was laying on my bed this morning, and the Lord Jesus puts you on my heart, all three of you. You have no idea what that means to people. So they're thinking God's way out there somewhere. I said, he puts you three on my heart. Showed me how hard you work and that people don't realize just how physical it is and how detailed and how involved it is. It's hard work. And you're here because it's a job, but it's a lot. And I said, and he told me to give you this. And for you, to encourage you to just be okay and receive it, even though you aren't doing our room. She's on the other floor. You don't have to do our room to get this. This is just a thank you for who you are and just the good job you do. And actually, honey, it's not from me. It's from Jesus. It looks like it's coming out of my pocket. It's really not. It's from Jesus. And I handed it to her. She didn't know what to do. That stuff speaks so loud. It's very rare that kind of stuff happens. So I had, the money's the money, but I had this $100 bill that a man handed me and I didn't want to take it. I said, stop, what are you doing? Jesus told me to give this to you. He pulled that card on me. What are you supposed to do? Jesus said, well, go tell Jesus he doesn't know what he's talking about right now. So I'm like, so he hands me this, and I didn't split the 163. I just did 50-50-50. That's what was on my heart. So I had Tom's in my pocket, and I took this 100 out, and I thought, you know what? I don't even like hand. I could take 100, they could put it in my account or whatever. Stores don't like necessarily splitting 100. I thought a hotel's a good place to do that. I'll give it to the girl. They can split it between the two. Well, the other girl wasn't there, but the other one was, and she was off that day because it was a weekend day, Sunday. I said, hey, girl, I said, what was the other girl's name out here? Amanda. Yeah, you guys were here all week on our floor. It's amazing. I said, I told her the same story. And when I pulled it out of my pocket, she saw the $100 bill and she literally went, like, no. I said, well, I said, it's just, you split it down the middle. You keep half and you give Amanda half. It's from Jesus. He just wants you encouraged. I asked them if their bodies were good, if they needed any prayer. No, they were great. Your buddy's been praying. Todd's so good. You have no idea. He's amazing. I handed her that. I ran and I'm packing. Every time I'm past them, I had to go back and forth. Couldn't fit the luggage. I had to take Bob and them to the church. They were preaching at and come back and then load up. So I'm back and forth 7-8 times since this happened. They can't stop saying, "Thank you so much. Oh, have a good day." Oh, they were like little kids. Just one gesture, financial gesture of generosity, saying, "It's just because of who you are. There's zero string to this. It's just because you're precious to God." You can't even imagine what that does to people. It's amazing. So it's another way to love people. Generously doing things for people. A lady got healed in the conference in the store of a torn meniscus or something. And then they paid for her groceries. It's just icing on the cake.
It's just fun.
Because then you're not just pushing a doctrine. You're loving people. And in this economy and in this society, by the world standards, doesn't make sense to live that way. But in the kingdom, it makes total sense to live that way. To give. And you say, "Well, I don't have that kind of finance to give." Well, we're not saying it's compulsion and you have to give. Look for opportunities. You might be amazed what Jesus tells you and how much you actually have to give when He tells you. Because of the way He works and blesses. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm blessing and buying lunches and sewing into a waitress. And a man walks up to me and says, out of the blue, and I haven't told nobody those stories. He just says, "I'm supposed to give you this. Jesus told me to give this." I'm like, "Oh, no, come on." "Well, I missed the offering last night and I wanted to put it in there, so I'm just going to hand it to you." I'm like, it's just the heart. It's a weak thing in me. It's the area I've located in my life that's definitely been weak. Because I don't want him to do that. Don't need him to do that. I'm not there for him to do that. Not even thinking that. Todd's at the bathroom and he's going to the bathroom, and we men don't talk to each other in the bathroom, but we're breaking that because I keep preaching on it. So Todd's at the urinal, and a guy comes in, and he's like, "Hey, dude, how you doing?" He said, "Look, I'm not afraid to talk to you while I'm going to the bathroom." He said, "We're breaking that thing. You can be free, man. Just talk to me. It's all right." We really started something because the one guy's in a stall and the other guy's standing out telling him the prophetic vision God gave him. The guy's in the stall talking through the walls. I thought, we're finally getting free. You know, you're like, "Hey," you go in the bathroom, "Hey." "Hey, yeah, hey." Like, what is that? So Todd and him are in there talking, and the guy, I think he's standing there peeing, and the guy taps him on the shoulder. It's like, "Here, I want to bless you." He said, "What are you doing?" So he finishes, he turns around, he's washing up, and the guy's standing there, and he writes a check out. And you don't really need to know this, but there's a point here. There's a principle. He said, "I was listening to your testimonies, and I was just thinking about how much you give and how much you sow into people and how much you bless. And I felt like the Lord said, bless him in return." And he had a couple $100 written out on the check and handed it to him and said, "Here, I believe I'm to do this for you." Now, Todd's not doing all this waiting for that moment. "God, I'm going to give so you give to me." No, he's going to give because he loves. And the church has taught give so people give to you. And I don't like that in me. That doesn't feel good in me. Because that's the motivation. And where's love? Yeah, but give and it shall be given for us. Well, that's the promise. But don't give. And we got a lot of stuff in prosperity going on. You can go ahead. Bring it up to Patty. Thank you, man. And Are you going to ask me a question and open up a can? Are you going to ask me a question and open up a can?
Yeah, I'm going
to
tell you something.
Oh, good. Sure, I'll let you talk. Give her the mic now.
Okay.
I thought, did I just open a topic?
No, good.
No. Go ahead.
It's all right. But you could just say about how, you know, you give and you don't expect for it to come back. In my husband and I's ministry, when we go and we were at conferences and we're considered vendors.
Right.
We're constantly giving people things. I mean, just because.
Right.
Just because.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I like that. Does that sound pure? Why would you do that, Pete? Just because.
I mean, we don't know and we don't. And it, well, you just wouldn't believe it. But it's just, they, and the people don't believe it. They're like, you know. And it's some of the things that we give, they're like, you know. But this past weekend, we were in Phoenix, New York. And a matter of fact, we heard all about Love and Power while we were there. But anyhow, I know these people. They're I think they're Mohawk Indians. And they come to all of Joe Askin's conferences.
That's where Todd preached on Sunday, on the Mohawk Reservation.
Well, that's who it is. I can't think of his name. I mean, little.
Is it Pastor Willie?
Yes, Willie Jock.
That was where he preached.
Willie Jock, yep.
Pastor
they know
Willie.
Us pretty well from going to these conferences. And where it was his daughter.
Isn't that amazing?
It was his daughter. He's the one that told us about Love and Power, about
okay.
Somebody that got healed of something. But anyhow, she comes to the table.
You.
Yeah. It was somebody in his family, I believe.
Yeah.
It was a boy, I believe. I was in the way back. So
I know exactly what he's talking about.
But anyhow,
yeah.
His daughter-in-law, it was his daughter-in-law, came up. And her little girls just loved the jewelry. And we've given them things, not even knowing who they were. But this time, she bought them two necklaces, and I'm taking the money for it. And she goes, here, this is for you. It was a paper towel, and it was all just rolled up. And I'm like, what? So I took it, and I unrolled it. Well, people don't do this. I'm all so used to giving, I don't know how to take it. Here she had made this beautiful turquoise necklace, real turquoise. She said, I knew I was going to make this for somebody to bring it along, and it's for you.
For you.
Well, the tears just rolled because it's like, I can't believe, you know.
It's
all
touching,
weekend,
it's pure.
Me, and they're all loving on me all weekend, the whole family, you know. And it's like, what is going on here? You know, I know you guys by acquaintances, but not as, you know, not personal.
Right.
So.
Then there's a sweetness to it all. Just flip that and she's there, I'm giving to get, and all of a sudden this is her payoff. Yes, Lord, I knew it was coming. You missed the whole heart and the beauty, the personal. There's just a lot of that stuff going on.
I know,
so I'm
it's just
saying,
a necklace, but
oh no, it's yeah,
it,
more
it
than
was,
a necklace.
It was more than that.
Wait,
because
no.
it was the way it was made, the way they make things.
If it was just a necklace, you wouldn't have been crying.
No, I sell necklaces. You know, I have every necklace there is.
There was way more. But do you see how that gesture of kindness affects the human heart and soul? Here she is dealing with necklaces. She has tons of them. A girl hands her necklace. She's standing there crying. Rather than, okay. You see the power of what? So that is what I'm seeing in her story too, that we need to really grab. Encouraging people. You know, I just don't give huge tips to every waitress. I always tip very generously because people know I'm a Christian by the time I leave one way or the other. And I don't want them to remember the Christian that doesn't tip. I don't want to tell them Jesus loves them and, hey, they need to get right with God and then rob them at the table. It's real good. I want them to see the proof in the pudding, and if I'm telling them they're awesome, they're precious, Jesus loves them, there's ways I can make that statement, and one way is simply with a tip. I wish the church was the biggest tippers on the planet, just because we're making a statement that it's not every man for himself, and it's not a percentage, it's a heart. So there was a young girl I did that for, and I wrote on the bottom of the thing, Because I even said to her, I said, honey, I said, have you just done this for a little while? Or because you look so young. Oh, no, this is my first waitressing job. And I said, oh, my goodness. I said, I don't know. You have some plans, school, this, that. I'm just figuring out now. But this is working for now. I said, well, I'll tell you what. It's a blessing to just see it's who you are. You're not doing a job. It's just you. You're like perfect for this. He was just, it was just awesome. She was so natural. It was just her, and she was the sweetest thing. And at the end, I actually tipped her. It was just me and the person eating. It wasn't a big bill. But I tipped her more than the meal on purpose to get her attention. And at the bottom, I just wrote, you're amazing. Keep up the good job and work. What a great disposition. Jesus really, really loves you! !! And then we slipped out of the restaurant. So she didn't know that until we were gone. Now that touches people. You know what I mean? And so it's just one way. It's encouraging people. Say you don't have the extra tip to give her. You just tip her normally. You don't have a tip. You can still be real. You don't have to just preach Jesus to her. You can tell her how much you appreciate her. Sometimes we over-spiritualize things too, and we're trying to accomplish something. Just love her. Because something could open up. Something could... Next thing you know, you have her hand and you're blessing her and praying and you get to know her a little. It just, but love people and be genuine. Like, you know, your disposition is so pleasant. I mean, when you came over here, I was like, oh my goodness, what an amazing person you are. This the job you're doing is incredible. You're such a awesome or attractive person. You're just so pleasant. And, you know, all of a sudden, you're like, wow. You know what I mean? Simple things like that. Simple. You know, it's not, you're not, you don't have an agenda. Your goal is love. I think our evangelistic mindset has crept in, and in some cases we think it's love because we're trying to help people to lead them to the Lord. You can get so rigid in that and mechanical, and you can actually do it without even loving them. Trying to accomplish a goal. I think the goal of our instruction is love. And some sow, and some water, God gives increase. Some of you are going to reap or you haven't even sown. Why are you going to reap? Because somebody else did. So, simple things. So somebody doesn't let you pray for them, and it looks like a defeat. Watch this testimony. And they say no, and then somebody goes up to them and asks for prayer, and they say, you know what? You're the third person in 2 weeks. It's approached me, talked to me about the Lord and wanted to pray for me. I've told the other two no, but it seems like God must be saying something to me. How about pray? Do you see the sowing and watering process? The first time, yeah. Do you have the mic for Becky? Thanks. So the first time is like, no, get out of here, whatever. Second time is, no, I'm not interested. Third time is like, what is going on? Isn't that amazing? So when you ask to pray for somebody and they're even rough with you and mean with you and you stay gracious and say, no, that's okay. I had no means desire to offend you. I'm sorry you heard it that way. I just wanted to bless you, sir. Well, have a good day, man. See you. And you just walk away. Wonder if somebody else is living that way and they touch them a couple days from now or a week from now or even a month from now. Who knows, after a while the dots start connecting. All of a sudden, God's doing something in their heart. Or they're frustrated, they're miserable, they didn't want nobody to pray, so fine. Hey, if they didn't change by now, they ain't going to change. Well, look, they're mean. You see what I mean? People change. Go ahead, Becky.
The Lord started showing me that when I was at Power and Love in Austin, Texas. There was a lady that had a booth in the middle of the mall. She is Islamic. She had her head down on the table there, and I just looked at her and I thought, oh my gosh, is she sick or something? So we went up to her and asked her if she was okay and if she was feeling sick, and she goes, oh no, I'm fasting. And their fast is from sun up to sundown, and then during the middle of the night, they can eat or drink. They can't drink. She goes, I didn't get up in time to eat or drink, you know, and I'm just feeling really weak. And I said, wow, can we pray for you? I said, I know how that is when you fast and you feel weak. And And she just backs up in the booth and she goes, no, you know. I was like, no. And I said, that's all right. We just bless you and we just pray strength into you. I just pray strength into you. And we went on. Well, the next day, it was really interesting. Somebody came back with a testimony that they prayed for the Islam. This Islam lady let them pray for her. So the seed was planted, and then the night she wouldn't let us just pray. But the next day, they came along and she allowed them to pray.
Up.
So it was really cool how the Lord was saying it's okay. It's just about planting, and then
isn't that awesome?
It was really, really awesome.
So there's no failure even when somebody says no. You can't get discouraged. You're not doing it for you. So there's a simple point we're just making is, man, if you're not encouraged, we're just not seeing something clear. If we're not encouraged to step out in love, we're taking things personal. We're not seeing a bigger picture. There was a question that was asked, wonder if somebody rejects you or gets rough with you, doesn't let you pray, and then you see them later, and should you ask them again? And we were in question and answer, and I just said, listen, I said, you're not compelled. You don't have to get a point across, but if it's your heart and you bump into them a couple of days later, what's wrong with saying, hey, remember the other day we bumped in? Man, I see you're still really, you look like you're hurt. Just know that I'd love to still pray for you. I know you do, but I'm just letting you know that I would be willing. And just leave it up to, and walk away. Somebody shot up their hand, had the very testimony from the conference. The day before they approached somebody and they were like, no, man, I'm not interested. Next day they saw the same person, bumped into the same person, went over and said, listen, I know yesterday and I don't mean to pester you, but man, it's really in my heart. And they were like, you really want to pray? Yeah, well, go ahead. And there was a neat move of God. See, if you get too analytical, you're thinking about this, you talk yourself out of love, out of faith, out of just truth, you start painting a picture, you could actually write his heart for him. And you're sitting there thinking, well, he didn't want me yesterday, he's pretty nasty, I sure don't want to tick him off today. And, you know, but, yeah, we're going to get you. Rachel's right behind you, she has something.
This actually was interesting to me because it was actually opposite. I went up to a gal, I guess it was last week or so, and she had this whole thing, and so I said, and she was very willing to, share what was going on. I said, can I pray for you? She said, yeah, you're like, since this has happened to her, she has had many people come up to her and pray.
Wow.
So she was like, sure, no problem, so it was like, wow, and this is, it's in Hanover, but I'm like, cool.
But that's exciting, but there's people, that shows you what God's doing. Well, that's the point to the one that said you're the third person in 2 weeks. So if you're the third person in 2 weeks, that means some other people are out there thinking like you're thinking, pursuing people in love. It was a couple of years ago, we were down in Charleston, West Virginia, in a grocery store, went to pray for a lady, and she said, you're the third group of people in a couple months, like 2 months, that's come to me. That's amazing. And she was like, whoa. She was touched by it. We were touched by it because we were like, who's these other people? That's really cool to know. So God has a strategy, as people tucked everywhere that are doing these kind of things.
Yeah, with my granddaughter, I've spent a lot of time with her, and she knows me and Nan prays, and she'll ask me to pray for her. So one day I'll pick her up at Miss A's, her babysitter's, and she's in the back seat. She said, Nan, you're going to be so happy and so excited. I said, yeah, what happened today? Well, this little girl, I don't know if she had a boo-boo or what it was, but she said that she laid hands on her and she prayed for this little girl. And this is a little girl that she sort of had problems with, Miss A's. But that,
wow.
I just feel like my prayers were answered because I'd pray, that she'll be able to have peace with this little girl.
Yeah.
God just works.
Amen. Isn't it awesome that as we live in this way, like she's saying, in the little ones, it just becomes more of a normal thought to them. As we live in this way, it becomes a... Todd said, we were coming home last night and driving. We had a long drive of 7 hours or so. It was probably, I think it took a little over 7 to get home. But he said, when they're out in public, when he's not in town, Jackie takes the kids out and stuff. He said, Zoe says, Mommy, they have Owie. Daddy said that we could pray for anyone that has Owie. So she's been doing that since she's real little. She says, they have owie. Daddy said, we got to pray for anybody who has owie. So it's in her. And I've seen children spur on parents that way. It works both ways then. Because the parents thinking, oh man. And then they don't, what are they going to tell their child? Well, you know, it just might not be the timing for God. Nope, you know what they're going to do? Let's go, honey. Isn't that cool? I think that's cool. So I'm just being real simple with you today at the end of this class, just saying, listen, thinking about approaching people, think about it more, take steps of faith, just begin to approach them at the simplest levels. Don't let your agenda be anything but love. Don't even get caught up in... I'm telling you, you can look at them and see they're hurting. You can see a brace on their elbow. You can see them hobbling. You can tell that their hip joint mustn't be good. And you can get all worked up and think 100 miles an hour about, wonder if God doesn't show up. Wonder if they don't get healed. I'm going to look so foolish. Da 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 da. And you just go sit there and keep eating and drinking and go to your car. True? Or you can let your agenda, your reason for walking over to them be because of love. You got nothing to lose but loving them. Amen? And the Bible doesn't say that the first sign that follows a believer is that they're healed. It says that they lay their hands on them. We're so busy fighting over the whole healing and trying to get a grip on it that we fail to just go do first things first. Let's just approach them and say, listen. Kimberly has something over. Say, listen. Man, I noticed when you walked in here, you were really hurting. Is that your hip or something? You will find most people will say, oh, yeah, I have this, that. I'm going through this. They wanted it. They'll tell you. They'll tell you the whole story sometimes. And you can just really graciously, simply say, well, listen, I really care about that. The reason I came over here. Bang. Just be real. Be in the beginning. I would see Todd do all the time. He'd just say, hey, you got this going on? Hey, I see you. Is that your ACL or what? Yeah. Can I just see your hand for a minute? Why? What do you want to see my hand for? What are you going to do, man? Oh, it's all right, man. It's just to see your hand. They'll either, you know, whatever. A lot of times they'll go like this. But I guess you just take his hand and start praying. I didn't have the same confidence to do that because I felt like I was setting them up. And I just had a different view, and I thought I just wanted to be honest with people. I just wanted to let them know exactly what I was up to and exactly why I was talking to them. And I felt like some things we weren't in the past were up front with people. I just need to be up front. But I noticed I was giving people a lot more opportunity to say no thank you or debate or bring up theological stuff. And Todd used to say, I'm telling you, dude, just take their hand. Because I'd say, man, this person, he'd say, you just took their hand. Once you got their hand, it's too late. And I'd say, I said, I need faith for that, though. And to this day, I have a confidence in certain situations. So I've learned, none of it's a method. It's people, and they're all unique, and God knows everyone. So you learn to grow in discernment and in love, and it's not a technique. It's not a 1, 2, 3. It's you being the best you and the most sincere you. All those other things creep in, and I believe that's why things can seem, yeah, not even encouraging, you know. But the bottom line is, like, there'll be people I'll see, and I'll just find myself, man, let me see your hand. This is going to be awesome. You're going to love this. And it just flows. There's other people, I tell them straight up what I'm doing. But you know, you sit down and you say, listen, I just did it. I just came out of a restaurant and the man's walking with a foot problem. And I just leaped out and ran out and they were going across the lot. And I said, hey, guys. They said, oh, hey. I said, listen, I'm not from around here. I'm only going to be here a couple of days. I'm just kind of passing through, actually. But man, you hurt yourself. What is that? Did you? Oh, and he told me about his foot. I said, listen, here's the reason. I don't know how you'll take this, but I'm just going to be honest with you. Man, I wanted to pray for you. I was hoping for the honor. I just know Jesus loves us. I'm growing in healing, praying for the sick. I've actually seen God heal folks. And I believe that He can heal and wants to heal. So it's really hard for me to just sit there and act like you didn't walk by. And when I said that, they're like, this dude's for real. The wife's standing there and I said, I'd really love to just pray for you right now in the parking lot here. Not embarrass you, but it won't take long. And just pray for your foot and believe the pain leaves, that your foot changes. And I said, would that be okay, Bill? He said, yeah. And they had a little granddaughter. I said, now, who are you? And then the wife said, that's our granddaughter. And I said, "And what's your name, young lady?" And she went, "Olivia." 6 years old. She's just standing there like, "Who's this guy?" And I said, "Hey, honey." As soon as I addressed her and talked to her, she looked at me. I said, "And what's your name?" She said, "Olivia." And I said, "You are so precious." I said, "How old are you?" She said, 6. I said, "I have a granddaughter who will be 6 in December." "Oh, you are just as precious as her. Now you got me missing my granddaughter." I tickled her belly, you know. So I turned to the wife and I said, "Thanks for..." And when I looked at her, it's all she can do to hold together. She is just ready to explode with emotion and tears. Just because of the pure gesture of love. And then it was ministering anew in my spirit to another area of her life. It was speaking to her in God. It was actually a God moment for her. It was amazing. See, you don't even realize. So I get down and prayed for his foot. "How's your foot?" He said, "Wow, you know, it does feel better." And I said, "Listen, man," and just the other one, I said, I know we got you in the lot here in Carson. I'm not even going to pray. I normally pray again. But you're going to see this thing change, and I can tell. Just head to your car, man. I love you. Thank you. Man, Jesus loves you guys. Isn't it awesome?" And they made comments about, "This was beautiful. Man, everybody ought to be like this. Da, 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 da." I said, "Well, I learned it from Jesus. He's teaching me it's not about going just to church. We are the church. It's about loving people." I said, "I used to think going to a service is what made me a Christian. Jesus is telling me it's loving people." The lady can't talk because if she talks, she's going to bawl. So she's like, you can see, it's funny to me. Kimberly, I didn't forget you, dear. I was just finishing my story. Yeah.
I was just going to say, you were talking about taking that step out. And I remember several months ago when we first started praying for people, I was at the post office and the lady like totally shot me down. I mean, I got a word of knowledge, which honestly doesn't happen often, about blood pressure. And I'm obviously questioning it. And I ask her and her face gets bright red. And I was like, "Well, can I pray for you? Can I hold your hand and pray for you right now?" She's like, no, not right now. So I left and I said, "Well, I'm just praying and believing that the Lord's going to heal that and, you know, just be blessed." So even I have a couple errands to do and I'm by myself, so I've, you know, plenty of time to pray for people. I'm going to Giant and I'm like, I'm going to see people. So I start, the Lord tells me, like, "You got to renew your mind." So out loud, I'm like, "Thank you, Jesus, that this is who you made me and that I'm, that this is a privilege to pray for the sick."
Wow.
And a lot of times when I'm not feeling love or, you know, the whole feelings thing, it's just renewing my mind even to that, like, "Lord, thank you," and I'm on my way to the grocery store. So I get there. And the first lady that I go to pray for, like, really rejected me. And I was like, "Lord, again? Like, what in the world? This is ridiculous. 2 in a row?" Because normally people are so blessed. Like, even if you feel like they're not going to be, they're just like, "Thank you for stopping." And especially to see someone so young to them, for especially an older person, they're like, they don't get that often. So actually, if the... I got to pray for like 3 or 4 people at Giant just because I renewed my mind, but I have renewed my mind again after getting rejected. And I said again to her, I said, "Well, I'm just..." She had a walker. And I said, "Well, I believe Jesus can heal you. And, you know, I just want to pray and believe for that." And she's like, "I believe he can too, but like kind of stuck in that. I'm just stuck here." So I saw another lady and I'm like hesitating. And every time I hesitate and I let them walk down the aisle, I end up like following them around the store. Cause I have to pray for them. And then I start feeling like everyone at Giant is going to put out like a sign with my face on it saying like, yeah, like, "I'm going to get kicked out of Giant for praying for..."
Beware of this face. She is stalking you. She's a stalker. Yeah.
Another word.
But it shows what we're going through too. Let me just in your mind, we're growing, we're learning. So you have second guesses, you hold back. "Oh, I should have." And then you end up tracking because your heart's saying, "I want to." And your mind's going, and it's just funny. There was a guy at one Power and Love explained it like this. He said, "Man, my son and I had a blast at Target. Oh my gosh, we finally stepped out and did this thing and watched God heal this guy." And he's telling me, it was hilarious. He had us rolling off our chairs. He said, "So here we are." He said, "They're in a group walking and he's sick and we didn't know how to approach him because they're all together and we didn't want to embarrass him." So he said, "Here's the two lions following the herd of gazelle." He said, so the lions are following the herd of gazelle. And wouldn't you know, the lame and weak one in the herd branched off and went down the aisle all alone. And the lions turned and went in for the kill. And we surrounded him and pounced him and we got him. And we were like, ah, roaring and laughing. He said, the little weak, the little injured gazelle, and he was ours. But they surrounded him. They said that for a while he felt like that. Like I had somebody say, I feel like I'm stalking people. I said, no, you're not stalking people. Your heart is finally going, hey, and you're realizing there's issue, there's need, there's things Jesus can address, and you're aware of that, and there's a war in your mind.
Yeah.
You're not a stalker. But anyhow,
well,
we could just see your poster.
I really thought that. I actually texted my sister-in-law. I was like, please pray for me. I'm getting attacked, and I just need to renew my mind.
Oh, my goodness.
So the first lady again, I look at her, and she's in a pink coat, and I just hear back. And I'm like, okay. So I end up following her, and it was an older woman. I said, something going on with your back. She said, no, my husband just had back surgery. And just got to pray for her. And it was just really neat because it was another one of those situations where it was an older woman and she was like, where do you go to church? Like, you know, all these things.
It's the first question most people really ask when you minister to them in their touch. Where do you go to church? Did you have anything else? Do you have it?
No, that was
just it's just beautiful. But do you see, if you take that to heart, now I liked what she was saying about staying in truth. When she's saying renewing my mind, what she's saying is there was counterproductive feelings, emotions, thoughts, who rejected two in a row, strike three, I'm out. Right? So she's fighting away all that, saying, wait a minute, no, it's right to love, isn't it? See, so we've been conditioned to not receive love.
Right.
So if people aren't in a position to receive love, does it change love? That's why we're all saved. Because God's love never fails. Right? You got something? So I know I'm not doing a lot of teaching training on this. We don't have much time, but we can really hit it hard tomorrow. But
After Power and Love, we took a group from our church out and to the mall and prayed for some people. And this guy just really took off with it. And he goes to the grocery store. It's kind of like Giant here. It's called Dillon's in Kansas. And he'd just go in there every day to get groceries, and he started praying for people. They have now given him his own prayer room in Dillon's grocery store in Kansas. Is that amazing?
It's amazing.
Isn't that amazing? A grocery store like Giant. I was just going, whoa, you know? Because he started
See how they handle the stalkers? They just set up a room for him, like the prophet's house. That way they aren't just lurking. You know, you're there at the juice section and there's Kimberly's face behind the juice can. Why not just give her a room? She won't go away. That's amazing. Do you know when Todd delivered ice, there was ice, he delivered ice, he was on a schedule. And people would find out his schedule when he was delivering ice at the places, at the Turkey Hills and stuff. And when he'd pull up with the ice truck, there was people lined up at the ice box waiting for prayer. So this thing can really take off.
Get your own prayer room.
Serious. It can really take off. I believe God's in this whole thing. That's why we teach so much on identity, so you don't talk yourself out of it. I got taken back. I went to a mentally handicapped facility when I was there. We just sang and I went around, laid hands on everybody, and they did. They've been gone for 9 years. Faithfully, once a month. To three different facilities. Commendable. Amazing. So honored it. Learned a lot. Got very humbled. Had a couple thoughts come through my mind that I recognized as the stranger's voice immediately when I left, because my heart was so shook at the reality of the condition of some people. These people didn't even know you were in the room, some of them, it seemed. I think it wasn't like that. I think they know more than we think. But you look at some of them and they're so incapacitated that there's no human function, it seems almost, but yet they're valuable, they're precious, they're people. So it tore me up. I had to go in the afternoon. Nobody knew this, but I actually went to the hotel room and just laid on my bed. It shook me so much. And a couple thoughts that came through that weren't the Lord were, Yeah, so you're seeing some knees and backs and shoulders and a cancer here and there healed and this and that. But what about that? See, what's the big deal? Knees and backs can't. It was a twist to it. As if it was condemnation. It was as if, yeah, well, where's the power of God? Look at all these people. And see, that's what humanity can tend to do in the human wisdom is look at a drastic need and cut off everything that God's building and doing as if it's insignificant. And this is what's taking us to that. Are you following what I just said? Increase in growth, building on what He's doing, because we're growing to a place. Who knows that you and I can look at things with our eyes and see and be beyond where we've grown spiritually because this is more real than we've arrived. You following what I'm saying right now? Yeah. Our eyes see things and we look at things, and the way we see with our eyes, it's way above where we've arrived and grown spiritually, even though we know what the Word says. The revelation, it exceeds revelation in our life. Jesus walks into that room. He's not one bit moved by anything He sees. He's the Lord. He knows it. He's right with God, and the Father's always with Him. There's zero identity crisis. He takes their hands and they straighten up. True? Is it possible for us? Absolutely. But I promise you, it was a very humbling and sober time in that room. I'm on the verge of tears trying to tell you now. Grace just holds me together, you know, when I teach and stuff. You're starting to learn and tell when I get that way, aren't you? I'm trying not to, but I could cry right now. Because it's not that I felt helpless. It's that I just saw such a need for more of God in my life. Because I'm so confident to take the lady's hand at the restaurant and actually say to her, which sounds arrogant, honey, if we pray, I didn't say it earlier like this, but this is what I said to her twice. If we pray, that pain's coming out of your feet. Well, I've grown to be able to be in that place and say that. What about looking at a situation like I was looking at in that home and saying, could you let me over there? If I can take their hand, they can be whole. That is just as possible.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's growing spiritually beyond where these things have gained so much reality in our life.
Yeah.
And we're on the spiritual journey where this becomes way bigger than what we see. Where the God in our heart is exploding to such a capacity that it trumps everything in our eye gate.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you believe that's how Jesus lived?
Yes.
Would you think He was shook or moved or challenged by anything?
No.
But I promise you, and it's not that it was some expression of unbelief and, oh my God, it was sobering, it was humbling. And what I did was I laid in my hotel bedroom, hotel bed for a long time. Todd gives me all his pillows. I love it. I have pillows everywhere. We call it a pillow revival. Every power and love is a pillow revival. He took a picture of me. I had one between my ankles, my knees. I had three from my ankles up. And a couple under, around. I was into it, man. He said, dude, it looks like you're laying in a bunch of clouds. I said, exactly. And I laid on these pillows. I laid and I was just, it's just like a groaning inside. It wasn't an unhealthy thing. I laid there and began to appreciate every sprained ankle. Every knee, every back, every cancer, every eyesight, I thanked God that He's real and that He's showing me He heals. But there's such a deeper level of the move of His Spirit and power. There's such greater seemingly need out there, but God is greater. And it's not that the need is more intense and stronger. It's how we perceive it. And God helped me to see like you see. And it just threw me into a place that was good. It was very humbling, very challenging, because I went and I just talked to the people like they could hear me, and I watched the others go love them so sincerely and pray and believe and release faith. And I told them, don't you ever stop what you're doing. 9 years, once a month, you say, well, what are they accomplishing? Time will tell.
Amen.
Don't you ever stop. It was one of the most honorable things of the whole week. It affected me more than anybody knew. I didn't really share my heart with anyone on it. But it threw me in my bed of my hotel room. This is a real good heart-seeking time. We're done for today. I want to really talk about this, what we ended with here, loving people, talking. I want to take questions or whatever, but I really want to make it as simple as it could possibly be. because our goal is love. Listen, if every sign's to the believer, we shouldn't be so afraid of failing. We should be concerned about not believing. Love never fails. So it's not about failing. It's about loving.
Yes.
So two people reject you. It's just where they're at. It's not that Kimberly did anything wrong. What should I change? What did I do wrong? We get this spiritual impression that if I do everything right, it'll flow smooth. Well, if that was the case, Jesus probably needed help because his ministry needed tweaked a little then. I bet he did right. You know what he did right? He loved. And you're sitting here today because he didn't change. Thousands rejected him at his crucifixion. Thousands came into his kingdom after his resurrection.
You get it?
Why don't we stand to our feet and let's just pray. I'm sorry, I'm a little late. There's a lot, man. There's testimonies running through my mind right now of stuff. Rejection stuff out in public. You know, I saw a man one day in the middle of a restaurant yell at me. I had three pastors with me. He's riddled with arthritis. He can barely walk. And I went, oh, whoever saw somebody and just went, oh. And it wasn't because I'm at Power and Love and I've got to demonstrate something for these pastors. Because I tell them straight up, that's not what I'm doing. And I won't do that. Because I'll step out of bounds. I'll just try to do something. I'll miss the value of the person. God's amazing. He loves people. He doesn't want you just trying to do the stuff. He wants you loving. I prayed for a man with a short leg once and I told him, listen, dude, that leg's growing out because I've never seen one not grow out except a 10-year-old with a 5-inch short leg. So this is like, no, this is just coming out, man. Just sit down. And I was kind of almost looked arrogant and cocky to him probably. And I prayed and it did not budge. And I prayed for 45 minutes and nothing changed. And I was like, I was frustrated inside. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I've seen hundreds of these things. I got in my car. I was leaving. The situation was over. And I'm driving, heading home. And I said, Lord, that is so crazy. I just don't get it. He said, Dan, don't you ever, ever again turn someone into a number. I bawled so hard. Because I let my statistics motivate me. Instead of his love. I just turned him into another person on a list of testimony. Instead of somebody Jesus died for. And it's amazing how even though God loved him. And in that mission, it's amazing how it just shut everything up. And it just, it's a paradox to me. Because you think even in God's mercy and grace, he just still just came and sent a right to the man and bam. But man, did it sober me. So trying to figure all that out and write a book on that is not my interest. We'll write wrong books. So don't even try to answer all that part. But the message was clear, wasn't it? Whatever you do, make sure it's love. I won't tell you that a testimony. I'm already too late. Father, we just thank you for today. God, we lift our hands and just worship you and honor you and receive you as King. We thank you for Sharon. We thank you that your spirit is upon her. Lord, that you're the one that strengthens her, quickens her, and restores her. We just thank you for your unfailing love in our lives and that you're teaching us that love. Father, we've received from you. And this week we ask you to really build us in the expression of our love life. Really build us in the simplicity of it. And we ask for revelation all week long that releases us in a very simple, authentic expression of your heart. And Father, I ask that grace on every student online and in this room. That there would be an amazing grace on our lives for a simple but authentic expression of your heart in life. Let people know you because they've met us. And let your goodness come in Jesus' name. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Bless you guys. We'll see y'all tomorrow, hopefully. Oh, thank you. See, I was like, probably already would have forgot. Thanks. I needed that. I really did. In fact, I'll put that in my pocket. Because then I will see it.